Time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, happy Tuesday, everybody. I'm Vanessa Richardson. I got Paul Gallant with me as always. What up, Sean Mapes? Behind the glass. Paul and I are out here adulting, like hard adulting.
Are Tuesdays ever happy, though?
No, Tuesday's the worst day of the week.
Yes.
Yeah.
We agree on this. This is our show doctrine.
Yeah.
Tuesdays, worst day of the week.
Monday, you at least get a little bit of a reset, unless yesterday, in which I had to put my dog down, which was sad. So yesterday was not a good reset. But
so yesterday, maybe a little bit worse than today.
Yeah, so yesterday, okay. so it's a happy my dog.
Tuesday thing. Actually wasn't the worst day of the week, then.
Tuesday was not the worst day of the week for me this year.
Sorry about your pupper.
This week. Yeah, dogs are family. Appreciate that. But yeah, usually Tuesday's the worst day of the week. But yeah, I got a new apartment. You got a new condo.
Yes.
We are moving up.
We are moving up in the world. Yeah. Now I just got to yell at my apartment complex today about flea bombing the old place.
Are you going to go Karen on them? Because I would like to take a phone and record said.
No,
because
then I'll get canceled. I'll get canceled like Britt McHenry. RIP her career because the DMV.
Lose some weight, baby girl, is what she said to the girl at the DMV, the towing company.
And look, I mean, tow trucks, no offense to any tow trucks out there, but generally tow truck drivers are the worst. But the people who are working at a tow truck place, the wrong people to talk trash to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Happy Tuesday.
Don't take your frustrations out on them. Happy Monday yesterday for the Texans, who had a nice little golf outing, raised money for charity. And before this golf outing, every year they have some media availability, kind of an informal deal. But we got to hear from Nick Caserio and Cal McNair and one Lovie Smith.
Right. Yesterday, we did touch on what we heard from Cal McNair in the 11 o'clock hour. So for those who weren't around for that, here is what Cal McNair had to say about the current state of the team. He feels like they are turning the page.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's normal to have it sort of the business cycle in the sports. And you have your ups and downs and you fight your way through it. And we've always had the fans with us. And it's exciting to have even more excitement than we've had the last couple years due to whatever reasons. We've had a lot of different things impact us, attendance at the stadium and different things. And so we're excited to get everything back together and going again. So it's going to be a fun year.
I'm sorry. It's just so tone deaf. It's just so tone deaf. We don't hear from Cal McNair that much.
That's what I was about to say first, is that that's the thing we hear when we finally hear from him.
Right. And look, that's just completely dismissing the reality of the current situation. So I felt like, yeah, we did need to come back to that today, because that's just preposterous, a lot of what he said there. First off, the fans are with us always. No, the fans are not with you. And I hope that the Texans have finally learned that this is not a city that's going to ride with them through the lows and the lows and the lows and the occasional highs. They're just not. They haven't earned that, and especially after what's taken place in the last 2 to 3 years.
There were changes that were obvious, like Deshaun Watson leaving, but I always tell people to look with the Texans as indicative of how bad it was. Look a little bit below the surface. And it may sound silly, but when you have a guy like Jamie Roots that was the team president that leaves after 20 years and was one of the best at what he did. I mean, even when the Texans were bad in earlier years, the suites were sold out. The tickets remained at a pretty high price for an NFL team. I'm not saying it's the biggest deal in the world. And the new president, by the way, I love Greg Grissom. He's awesome. But there were so many people that left, the biggest ones being on the field again. Yep. But when you look behind the scenes at the scouts or the front office members, this franchise was in disarray. I do think it's getting better. I think Nick Caserio was a huge part of that. I think Lovie Smith is a massive part of that. But I think this is also why Cal McNair may not talk to the public that often.
Perhaps. I think it is getting better for them as well. But you have heard Lovie Smith and Nick Caserio acknowledge that things have been bad. And he mentions excitement. Is anyone really excited for this season? I know that whenever we bring up the Texans, there's a lot of eye rolling that we get on the Twitch. I know that the text line probably feels the same way. This is one of those rare days where the Astros didn't have a game yesterday, because normally we start talking about them. But where is the excitement? Is it relief? Oh, I'll say relief. Yeah, it's relief that you don't have a clown show operation that you used to. There seems to be some stability, which is nice. But that doesn't mean that the stability is necessarily going to lead to great things. So excitement, what is the excitement about?
9512 on the text line says, what do you want Cal to say? Well,
apologize.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the fans, I think there's power in transparency, and maybe people feel like this has not been a transparent franchise. We also heard from Nick Caserio. Nick Caserio keeps things close to the chest, but is also a little bit more honest. Mm-hmm. I wanted to say vest so badly.
Say it. Just close get to the dad joke out of the way.
Vest.
Thank you.
And he talked about Davis Mills, obviously the quarterback he took in the third round, had a great rookie year. Great, maybe a little bit over-exaggeration, but compared to, I think, what we thought he would do, had a good rookie year. And Nick Caserio talked a little bit about the growth that he expects Davis Mills to have.
Went through a lot. I'd say he dealt with some adversity, whether it was in training camp, whether it was in preseason, and you got to the regular season, then there was a gap there, kind of take a deep breath, and he came back on the field. And offensive football it's a collective effort, and the quarterback relies on everybody else around him and vice versa. So I'd say he certainly made some progress. You know, we'll see how the offseason goes. The year one to year two jump, typically, not necessarily specific quarterback, Brian, but just generally speaking for younger players, is pretty significant.
Are you excited to go back to Cal's comments to watch Davis Mills grow? Are you excited about that? I'm not.
Okay, see, I actually am.
Okay.
I'm actually ready. I'm excited to see what Davis Mills can do.
Look,
I think he may end up being a gem.
Okay.
Maybe not a Hall of Famer, but I think he, I mean, when you look at the fact that he was Uncut Gem.
Uncut Gem.
When the fact that he was taken in the third round and that he was in a draft full of quarterbacks was not known as, oh, he's Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, you know. I think he may end up experiencing some growth.
I hope you're right. I don't want to I do not want to watch a quarterback grow, though. I mean, I thought I was done watching quarterbacks that are less than Deshaun Watson when Deshaun Watson was here. And obviously lots of factors, as Cal McNair talked about. There's a lot of different things. So there were lots of different things with Deshaun Watson. But ever since I saw Deshaun Watson, I'm sorry, I can't go back to the Stone Age. I don't want to deal with watching a bad quarterback every Sunday or a potentially mediocre quarterback. I'm sorry. I spent the last 2 years in Seattle for all Russell Wilson's fault. Russell Wilson is damn good on the field. I had Deshaun Watson here before I moved. I can't go back to the Stone Age.
So would you rather have the Texans to watch him grow. Bring in an experienced quarterback through free agency?
No, no. I don't.
Then what do you want?
I want to be excited. They're telling me that everyone's excited. Well, what's there to be excited about? It's not fun to watch a baby learn to not poop itself, you know? Like, that's essentially where we're at. I haven't had kids. I don't know what that process is like. Oh, they're just born and they're right in front of you. Well, what if the baby's ugly? What if the baby's not cool? Oh. What if the baby's a little satanic monster?
What if the baby's not cool?
I don't know. Have you ever watched The Omen? I mean, that baby wanted to kill everybody. That wasn't good. The other movie, Rosemary's Baby,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, a lot of evil babies. The Incredibles. Great mm-hmm. movie.
Yeah, it happens. So listen, again, to just circle it back. Can they just be honest? Is it that hard to say, I'm sorry? Is it that hard? It shouldn't be. Just say, look, we've sucked the last 2 years. Unacceptable. We're working on it. I would much more appreciate that than saying, like, yeah, there's a lot of excitement. I don't think there is, Cal. I don't.
Some people would say sorry seems to be the hardest word. 70s song reference.
Is it too late to say sorry?
Oh, that is not a 70s.
Look at me. Paul's a current. I'm more current with the music.
You are. Yeah, you are. We talked about this yesterday, but it's worth bringing back today. Do you think Davis Mills could be the quarterback that experiences the most second-year growth, more than Zach Wilson, Mac Jones, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, that big quarterback class?
Well, what's he getting as far as additional help? And I feel like you're retaining some of it, but is John Michie, is he going to be giving you that right away? Like, that's a pick that I feel like, okay, maybe if you get some contributions from him year one, awesome. But, you know, coming off of an injury, I don't know about that. Brandon Cooks is back, which is good. Maybe some of these other players are going to take a year one to year two jump. Nico Collins or something like that. Brevin Jordan. But I think the supporting cast around him, it hasn't changed that much. Where, you know, Trevor Lawrence, okay, they got Christian Kirk. Like, is that really going to help him out that much? Mac Jones got Devontae Parker. I think that could be a sneaky, really great acquisition for New England. this offseason. But, I mean, if you're picking the guy to make the most growth, it's got to be Zach Wilson just based off of what the Jets did in the draft. If you are one of those people that are like, whoa, look what they did. And, I mean, they did make a lot of picks. I think it has to be Zach right now.
Both New York teams definitely cleaned up well in the draft. But Paul Gallant, not excited to see Davis Mills grow. I'm actually kind of excited to see what the rookie second year quarterback out of Stanford can do.
I got you. It's just training wheels.
I know.
Training wheels are not fun. I would much rather just have what I used to have. I know. I have to get over it. I have to accept it. But that's just not who I am.
Something else that we have to accept, the changes in broadcast booths. Different voices going to be accompanying you for Monday Night Football, Sunday Night Football. A lot of movement in that area. And we're going to get to the biggest story, you could say, of the morning in the sports world next.
Something you don't have to accept, though, is that you can have help in your corner when you don't know something, right? So say you want to make some long-term real estate investments. Everyone's doing it these days. You want to talk to my friends at Passive Investor Network, passiveinvestor.net. They're a full-service real estate investment firm that takes the fear, headache, and guesswork out of that investing process. I don't know a damn thing about real estate. I honestly don't really ever want to know a thing. And they have taken the whole thing out of my hands. And look, they tell me what's going on, but they make you a personalized five-year plan for your investments that's based off of your financial goals. You sit down with them, great people, great to talk with, and really do explain it to me, a dumb, like I do know what I'm talking about after the fact. They surround you with knowledge and experience, and it protects those investments, and they show you how they do it on their bus tours. And there's one coming up on May 21st. You get to meet the Passive Investor Network team, take a tour of potential property investments, and see how things work for them. Here's what you do. Go to their website using promo code ESPN for a free registration. I'm probably going to be out on that bus tour on May 21st. You can come hang out with me. We'll see all these properties. It's the Passive Investor Network, passiveinvestor.net, promo code ESPN, passiveinvestor.net, promo code ESPN.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
So much movement among the broadcast booths this off-season. Give Kirk Herbstreit and Al Michaels, who will be with Amazon. Joe Buck and Troy Aikman left Fox for ESPN. And now we got some news on Fox this morning, and it involves your God.
My Lord and Savior,
Your
yes.
Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
He's gracing us with his presence now, not just during his playing career, but after his playing career.
Every Sunday, I have to see this man. Every Sunday.
Say that like it's a bad thing. He's
Tom
objectively
Brady
handsome.
Will join Fox Sports as lead NFL analyst after he retires. Fox News CEO Lachlan Murdoch broke the news on a Fox earnings call. It's a big deal.
I wonder how this would go, because while I have enjoyed a different level of candid from Tom Brady over the last 2 years since he has left New England, and also enjoyed some of the transparency that he has shown during the documentary that he has done, Man in the Arena,
yeah,
there is a part of me that will wonder, just like with any other former awesome player, how are they going to handle being in that spot, especially when Tom Brady has been known to be exceptionally political when talking about anything. The guy knows how to walk down a line that does not offend others. So while I bet he will sound polished and friendly, is he going to give you the kind of raw excitement that Tony Romo does? That's his biggest strength. Is he going to be able to give you, I think, sometimes very biting commentary that Troy Aikman gives you?
Troy Aikman does not hold back.
No, I don't know. I don't know about that. This is interesting, and it's especially interesting because he isn't retiring right now, as of my knowledge. Who knows what he's retiring?
My guess is that Fox is betting on Tom Brady retiring either next season or at the latest the season after that.
That's so weird.
It is, but they like Greg Olson. They're going to stick Greg with Kevin Burkhardt probably in the meantime. Fox Sports, by the way, tweeting it out officially themselves, We are pleased to announce that immediately following his playing career, seven-time Super Bowl champ Tom Brady will be joining us as our lead analyst. Over the course of this long-term agreement, Tom will not only call our biggest NFL games with Kevin Burkhardt, but will serve as an ambassador, particularly with respect to client and promotional initiatives, a.k.a. he will bring in the moolah.
He'll be a schmoozer then.
Yeah.
Hi, everybody.
No, it's literally true.
I'm Tom Brady. And then you bring him in with the big wigs, and you get to make them feel special and fancy, gives them a little dance or something like that. Huh. Brand ambassador. Honestly, I think I'd rather have him as the brand ambassador than I would as the color commentator. I'm not even kidding. And I love Tom Brady.
So this is surprising to me because you love Tom Brady so much. So you're predicting that he's going to be a little too vanilla.
I mean, I don't think he'll be as vanilla as Drew Brees.
Right.
But I don't think he'd be Peyton Manning either. You know, I can admit that. I think that Brady is just the kind of honesty from Brady that you would get. I just wonder. I don't know. I don't know that you would get the kind that you really want out of a color commentator. I'm sorry. I want somebody who is going to point out things that are dumb and highlight them. Because so when I'm yelling at the TV, I felt like somebody is yelling at the game with me. You know, sometimes with Chris Collinsworth, it gets a little frustrating of late on the Sunday night broadcast where Chris Collinsworth, here's a guy, and it'll be some random long snapper. And he's like, you know, John Weeks, maybe the best center in NFL history given his, you know, and nothing against John Weeks. I love John Weeks. It's just one of those things where Chris Collinsworth is not critical. But he's been good for a while because he can at least point out specific things that are cool. I don't know, man. I wonder with Brady, what is it that you really would be getting on a TV broadcast with him and now a part of the thing?
When will Tom Brady actually retire and join Fox
That's
Sports?
Another good question.
We want to know what you have to say about that. So send us a text on the text line 713-780-ESPN. You can get at us on Twitch or Twitter. When do you think this is actually going to happen? We now know that it's happening, signed, sealed, delivered per Lachlan Murdoch, Fox CEO. But when do you think this is actually going to happen? I say
good
2 years.
Man, I really don't know. I wonder how the Bucs are going to do this year, too. The NFC still relatively open, right? I mean, the Rams are the defending champs. The Packers, without Devontae Adams, are, I think, a little bit further back with the rest of the pack and probably on the same level as where the Bucs are at this point in time. And I guess you would say the Rams are the prohibitive favorites in the NFC going into the 2022 season. Maybe you say San Francisco if you feel like Trey Lance is going to make some massive jump. But I guess as long as you think the Bucs are a legitimate Super Bowl contender, and they did almost have that comeback against the Los Angeles Rams because of Sean McVay's terrible game managing and giving the ball to Cam Akers every down. But 2 more years? I don't know. There's another part of me, too. Now I just can't imagine Brady retiring.
After he retired for 2 months and said,
right,
nope, not doing it?
Now I'm like, I mean, why? He just seems like such a crazy person when it comes to his addiction to this game. And I don't think that broadcasting is going to scratch that itch.
I think that he may do it. And I mean, if your theory ends up being right, that he's super vanilla and almost not controversial or hard enough to be a color commentator, it'd be really interesting to see what they do with him. Mm-hmm. But this was the guy that, now to quote Chris Collinsworth, here's a guy, right? He was going to be pursued by every network. I mean, if you're a color commentator for, I don't care if it's NBC, ABC, ESPN, you know that if he becomes available, that they're going to hire him. So Fox had to go out and get him.
Yeah.
Could we see him at the Fox News anchor desk? That'd be interesting. Now, I do have a little bit of a
conspiracy
theory.
I think a lot of people would
think
he would be there because of the time he had a hat in his locker room.
Right.
His locker.
I do have a little bit of a conspiracy theory.
Ooh, okay. Your conspiracy theories, the one that you've shared with us thus far about how PETA is a front to make
not real
vegetarians and vegans seem like a bunch of weirdos. I mean, I think it's great that PETA is a false flag operation.
I'm iffy on the moon thing, too, but I don't want to get into that one.
It's hardly even a conspiracy at this point.
It's true. Thank you,
Sean. You guys have just spoken it into existence.
Can I talk to you about the show Succession?
Oh, you've been watching the show too much. This is the problem.
Succession, a lot of people think, there have been articles, even in NPR, about Succession being loosely based on the Murdoch family. So Rupert Murdoch, 91 years old, he hasn't bitten the dust yet. He's the founder of Fox News. He has 4 children, Okay.
Is there a Shiv?
Lachlan, James, Elizabeth, and Prudence.
Oh, so Elizabeth must suck.
So there's four.
Shiv is the worst character on that show.
Just like the show Succession.
Not even close.
Lachlan is acting CEO, so think maybe like Kendall, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the question has remained, when Rupert Murdoch finally dies, because he's in his 90s, who will he name? He has not named a successor. James also wants it. So it's not just Lachlan acting CEO. James wants it. And then one of the sisters has been interested as well. So will it be Lachlan, James, or one of the sisters?
I don't know.
It seems like it's between Lachlan and James. Here's my conspiracy theory.
Okay, there we go.
Care about politics, which a lot of you don't, pay attention. Okay, because the fact that Lachlan is the one that announced such a big acquisition for Fox tells me that Lachlan is probably going to be Fox News CEO permanently.
Well,
and that he is the successor. Thank you.
Okay. So him bringing Tom Brady into the fold is akin to a cat grabbing a dead mouse and presenting it at the foot of its owners, expecting, you know, to be thanked and appreciated for it.
Rupert Murdoch says to his children, in my conspiracy theory, which one of you can fetch the biggest name? I don't care if it's for our political division. I don't care if it's for our sports division, but figure something out.
Okay.
He serves Tom Brady on a platter. So Fox News.
For those who don't watch the show, is he based on Kendall?
I think he's probably...
So Kendall is like the one
But I haven't watched all of it yet.
Without any spoilers, Kendall is the one that seems like the front runner to be the successor to Brian Cox's character, Logan Roy. However, the guy's got issues.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's got serious, like, self-confidence issues, pill issues, but he seems like he's the de facto choice. The other two, Shiv, who is the daughter, is just this terrible witch of a woman and is horrible
she's
and has no redeeming qualities. And then there's also Roman, who is essentially like a bleep boy, like myself, who is also essentially in the running in a way, shape, or form.
Yeah. So that's my Succession theory.
Okay.
If you want any more political news, don't come to me. But for this, I'm right.
I like that watching this show is giving you takes.
It really
just like really bizarre takes that I needed just a little bit of help to follow.
Tom Brady is the reason Lachlan Murdoch will be the CEO of Fox News.
It's like whenever you watch a show, especially when you binge it, and then everywhere you see see the plot everywhere and everywhere in your life. This has just happened.
I watched Ozark, I was like, oh, so-and-so definitely launders money.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I went around and looked at all the rich people I know, and I'm like, oh, 100% laundering money.
It's laundering money. It's the way the world works, guys.
Yeah. For any more political takes, do not come to me.
You know,
saw it everywhere.
If you don't know, you don't know.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we do have some fun Astros news, plus another NFL schedule announcement, which means we're up to about 7 or 8 games that we know of when they will be. That's next.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
And we are rolling along on a Tuesday. I'm Vanessa Richardson. That's Paul Gallant, our producer Sean Mapes. Behind the glass, the Astros with the day off today. They'll be back at it soon. But according to BetMGM, which is now, by the way, the official betting partner of the Astros, some fun news involving some of the superstars for the Astros, Justin Verlander and Jeremy Peña, the rookie who's been on fire.
Yeah, so according to those to this betting website, app.
It's a betting
entity.
Yeah.
Conglomeration. Justin Verlander currently has the best odds to win the Cy Young at plus 600. Jeremy Peña has the best odds at winning the Rookie of the Year award at plus 400. I am now thinking to myself, not that I ever would have actually jumped on this, but I'm wondering what Jeremy Peña's odds were to win Rookie of the Year going into the season. Because they must have been astronomical compared to this. But he's been damn good to open up. And, I mean, who else is going to take it from him? You saw one of the guys that maybe was a potential candidate to compete with him. And over the course of the year, I suppose that could happen. But Julio Rodriguez in Seattle was the only guy that I could think of off the top of my head, having talked to him and watched him in Seattle, was the only guy I thought that maybe could be that guy. Plus 400, that's pretty close to being the just de facto favorite. I wonder who else is actually in the mix.
I thought it would take, and it may still, 3-ish years to really judge whether James Click and Jim Crane made the right decision in letting Carlos walk and really putting a lot of trust in Jeremy Pena. I still think it'll take a couple of years. It may not take quite as long as I thought.
It'll take at least a postseason.
Well, 100%, and I would venture to say maybe even two, because you want to see what Carlos does over two seasons. So can that for later. But let's say Carlos gets injured repeatedly, like we would never want him to, but it's a possibility. And Jeremy Pena keeps shining like this. I mean, it may not take the 3 or 4 seasons. It may take 2 to see that, you know, they actually did something really bold and it worked out.
Pena was plus 1,200 going into the year. So that was not at the top. Bobby Witt Jr. with Kansas City was first, plus 280. Then it was Spencer Torkelson, which doesn't sound like a real name, at plus 500. Julio Rodriguez, a guy I mentioned, plus 550. Some guy named Adley Rutschman. God, baseball does a terrible job marketing these stars. You could just say that these are creative players in MVP baseball, right? 2005, and I'd be like, yeah, okay. Riley Green, and then it's Pena. So, damn, Pena's gone up a lot. Hope you got in on the ground floor of that one, because, yeah, plus 400, I'm not betting on something like that. I like to do the long odds stuff. Low risk, high reward possible. Because, yeah, when you're putting down money just to win an incremental amount more, it's not fun. Not fun to me.
Justin Verlander, currently with the best odds to win the AL Cy Young Award, plus 600. Jeremy Pena, best odds at winning the AL Rookie of the Year Award, plus 400. So the Astros are rolling along, and they certainly have a lot of pieces on their roster, according to BetMGM, that are impressing a lot of people for sure. In NFL news, we've talked a lot about the schedule launch, which is going to be this Thursday, May 12th. The NFL kind of rules the calendar year-round, so this is no different, but it seems like every other day or every 2 or 3 days we are getting the news of another game, whether it is the international game, a Nickelodeon game. In this case, it is one of the Christmas matchups.
It was a leak. The NFL is going to find who leaked this.
Yeah, the NFL leaked it.
They don't want to have attention on them every day in May.
Literally the NFL.
Yeah, I know. The NFL schedule officially leaks on Thursday, but my God, I mean, they're just doing this dramatic, hey, every single day, here's a game. Oh, yeah, Christmas Day, Rams and Broncos, Matt Stafford and Russell Wilson. That's the best Christmas present I can ever have. It's on Nickelodeon.
The Nickelodeon thing is weird. So there will be an alternative broadcast on Nickelodeon, which they usually have like Nate Burleson and a couple of younger people do. And then they have Adam Schefter's daughter, Slime People, or something weird like that. Really?
Nepotism. Why is it Adam Schefter's daughter?
Yeah, but because she's Adam Schefter's daughter. So it'll be interesting to see that this Christmas is on a Sunday. So there's like 3 NFL games, which I think is going to be cool.
It's pretty funny that the NFL just said, yeah, we're going to play games on Christmas Day now. Piss off, NBA. Like, they just hijacked away, essentially, what is opening day of the NBA season.
Right.
Because now this will be, 2 years in a row that there's a, or 3 years in a row that there's a game on Christmas Day? I think it'll be 3 years in a row.
Yeah, possibly. I know that it's been a few years now.
Yeah, because I remember, I think it was 2 years ago, I think I won a fantasy football championship because Alvin Kamara had like 6 touchdowns on Christmas Day or something like that. Seriously. And then I think last year, yeah, there were some games on Christmas Day too. And man, this is crazy. And I mean, good job by the NFL. Like, they just continue to find ways to steal away the shine of other leagues. And while they might not be global, and while this stupid, like, playing in Munich thing is, I think, just un-American, and it's just taken our groups.
Magapol.
Yeah, you know what? Fine. I build a wall in Germany again so we can keep the NFL out, okay? Rebuild the wall.
Yeah, Broncos versus Rams. That'll be 4:30 Eastern time, so 3:30 our time on CBS/Nickelodeon. Glad you brought up the international games, because that brings up the games that we know about thus far. Mm-hmm. Field Yates tweeted this out. So week 2, we have Chargers at Chiefs, Titans at Bills, Vikings at Eagles. We know that for week 2.
The 2 Monday night games are the.
Yeah, the Titans at Bills and Vikings and Eagles are Monday night football. Chargers at Chiefs will be Thursday night football.
Okay.
Week 4, Vikings Saints. That's the international game. The rest
boring.
Is
fall.
Yeah. Giants Packers international. That's week 5. Week 8, Jags Broncos.
Exporting the Jaguars to England again. I'm sure England's really thankful.
Week 10, Paul is super excited about this one. Seahawks, Bucks.
Yeah, in Germany, you know.
Week 11, Cardinals, 49ers.
Thanks, Soviets, for losing the Cold War. We could have kept it out of Germany, but nope. We got to give it to the people that we fought and bled against in 1776. We're giving them free football. Not even their football. And then we're going to Germany, too. What's next, huh?
We're going
to Mexico? Oh, we're going to Mexico. My bad.
Yeah, Cardinals 49ers is Mexico.
We're going to have players blind leaving the game from all the laser pointers.
I think the Cardinals 49ers game could be cool.
Yeah, if it happens and it doesn't get canceled last second.
Because of violence?
No, because Estadio Azteca is a dump. Like, it's an absolute dump. Mexico City, hey, I feel like there may be some people in Mexico with enough money to potentially build a stadium. I wonder who they could be. I don't know. Just saying.
Week 16, Broncos at Rams. That will be that Christmas matchup.
I've watched too much Ozark recently.
Yeah, no, that's what, like, when I watched Ozark, I just thought everybody was money laundering.
That's what the birds are going to do next.
Right. Sounds like you're watching Narcos, actually.
Well, a little of both. Well, it's kind of the same thing, right? And it Better Call Saul, you know? There's some cartel action going on. But that would be the next thing that the birds do. Say they get out of Ozark alive as they build a new stadium in Mexico City.
I have not seen
with the foundation.
Narcos. Is Narcos good?
It's awesome. Oh, yeah. Narcos Colombia is
good. I watched the first couple seasons of Narcos Colombia.
So you watched the ones with Pablo Escobar. Awesome. Okay. Mm-hmm. The Narcos, right? The
original regular Narcos.
Did you only watch the first two seasons?
I think so, and I fell off.
Okay. They let him act in it?
Oh, no, Pablo Escobar is not actually.
They brought him back from the dead.
I didn't know.
There's an actor portraying Pablo Escobar.
No, it's like actually Pablo Escobar. He got hiding.
When did he die?
Spoiler alert, I can't reveal that.
I didn't watch the end of Narcos, I guess.
I think it's in the early 1990s or something like that. Narcos season 3 was the best Narcos season.
I didn't realize he died.
And that was after Pablo Escobar.
You're probably
died.
Thinking of El Chapo.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The one that's still alive.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I
was
surprised that
they
were going to let him act.
Yeah. It would have been really surprising if they let a skeleton act. Yeah. Like, what do you do? Do you have, like, a ventriloquist?
A skeleton who's been dead longer than I've been alive.
Do you think the bones are still intact? Would they be?
Did you guys hear about the bones that washed up in Las Vegas from the 70s?
What show were you watching this
time?
In a
barrel.
What show were you watching?
It was an article. And you know what the police said in Las Vegas? They think there's more. Because this was an execution-style killing they think could be connected to the mob.
Murder is mean.
Murder is very mean. Don't do it, but it's fascinating. So they're going to look at...
Oh, it's so great. They found these bodies.
They're going to look at the guy's dental records and try to figure out... Do you think... I think it could be Jimmy Hoffa. I would love if it was Jimmy Hoffa.
Well, yeah, I don't think they're ever finding that guy's body. The Irishman on Netflix. We're just doing shameless promotion for every Netflix property right now. What else do we have? What else? What else can we do?
Stranger Things.
Yeah, season 4. It's coming out.
Yellowstone was not on Netflix, no. But Yellowstone is a damn good show.
I wish it was.
Kevin Costner cleans up nice for a
Beth cleans up nice.
Yeah, she does. She's your type of crazy.
I would let her ruin my life.
You would let Beth abuse you.
It's kind of funny, though, that everyone in that show... did you bring this up to me? Every person in that show is supposed to be like in their 30s.
Oh, I didn't, but that is a good...
They're like all like 50-something years old.
Is this Yellowstone?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I haven't seen it, but I know...
It's really good.
It's ridiculous that...
You gotta work on
their skin. These guys are 30 years old.
Yeah, work on your skincare in Montana, please. Thank you.
Yeah, washed up in Las Vegas, they say, on the Twitch line. Yeah, washed up in Las Vegas. Google it. Fascinating article.
Yeah, there's a
I try to read it, but I don't have an LA Times.
I think they're questioning whether or not there's a lake in Vegas.
Nerd.
It could come up in a pool. You know, bury him at the bottom of Wet Republic.
Or like in the sand. Like,
do you want to know what really happened?
You know, the sand blows off and he kind of washes up.
It's because of climate change that they're coming to the top of this. So that was the article, was because of climate change, some things are rising to the top of the ocean. And that's how...
And in Vegas.
Yeah.
Las Vegas' ocean.
No, not the ocean.
That's what they're asking about. Like, where's this water?
The body of water.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. I thought it was in Las Vegas. I could be wrong.
I hope so.
I'm going to Google it.
There's just a giant lagoon in Las Vegas now. Maybe.
There's Lake Tahoe.
Tahoe. You know what? That would make sense.
But that's in Tahoe, not Las Vegas.
That's where Fredo's body is.
Speaking of the NFL, does the NFL need another team? And if they get another team, should it be in Dallas? Somebody thinks so. Somebody in power thinks so. We'll talk about that. That's next.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
And a second set of human remains have been found in Lake Mead, 25 minutes from the Las Vegas Strip.
We a news show now?
Yeah, it's exciting.
Do we need a breaking news sounder?
Wee, wee, wee. I just love mob conspiracy theories, and I want one of these guys to be Jimmy Hoffa.
Whoa, whoa, how do you know it was the mob? No, hang on. I go to Vegas
30
enough.
Minutes from the Las Vegas Strip.
Can we stop, like, throwing it on the mob? Because I go to Vegas a lot, and I don't want to be a part of a show that's just saying, yep, the mob did it.
Nobody
did those bodies.
Nobody would ever mistake you for being in the mob.
What if it was, no, it's not about the mob. It's about, I don't want to be on a show that's like, say, hey, look at all the mob secrets.
Wait, are you sensitive?
No, I know it's a bunch of Houdini people that were trying to break out of a barrel. They got dropped into a lake, and they were trying to do magic tricks,
Paul
and they
Gallant
just died.
Wants us to be nice to the mob, Sean.
I don't want to.
No, he's worried that a whole bunch of mob bosses are going to hear this segment, mm-hmm. and then next time Paul's in Vegas, they're going to have him whacked.
I'm not going to be in my element, right? I'm probably going to be a little bit, let's just say, lubed up.
That is your element.
And I... Shut up. And that's not
and then
nice.
Someone's going to come behind you with a wire like Luca Brasi.
Yes! I'm a big deal. I'm a Z-list celebrity. Like, I actually resonate... As far
the
as
mob
names.
Bosses will come up to you and ask if you want to take their picture.
I have a blue check mark, okay, Vanessa? I don't want to die.
Hey, will you take our picture, man? You seem like you take good pictures.
If there's one thing mob bosses that are thinking about murdering you respect, it's Twitter verification.
Well, yeah, because I am a journalist. You know, one time I broke Zach Mettenberger, you know, Jake Locker getting benched for him. I'm a reputable news source.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Speaking of reputable, the mayor of Dallas, so a lot of people would say, has lost a little bit of credibility.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of mob hits, I mean, yeah. Jerry Jones, you think he's going to let this guy stay in as charge of the mayor of Dallas after this?
Honestly, Jerry Jones might be more powerful than the mob, because have we heard anything else about that car crash or about that other daughter? No.
No, apparently the other driver was in the wrong. That's what we found out.
That's what we found out. Yeah. The other driver was in the wrong.
85-year-old man crashed his car, and it's not his fault. That's an upset.
Dallas Mayor Eric Johnson tweeted that Dallas is the city most deserving for another NFL team. Quote, we are about to pass the Chicago Metro and become the number 3 metro in the U.S., which would make us the largest metro without two teams. Football is king here. Dallas needs an expansion team, and we would be able to sustain number 2, Johnson tweeted. So if a deal can be made that benefits the NFL, the other owners, the city of Dallas, and possibly the Cowboys, it's a no-brainer. But here's the rub. If it benefits all the stakeholders I just mentioned except Jerry Jones, does that mean a deal shouldn't happen? Blah, blah, blah. He goes on and on and on. He really did a long explanation of why he thinks Dallas deserves another NFL team.
But the problem is, okay, so he brings up Los Angeles and New York as examples. Los Angeles is a terrible example. No one cares about the Chargers there, even though they have the cool uniforms, the quarterback, too, that's, I think, got a lot of upside. No one cares about the Chargers. Like, that stadium is constantly packed with the opposition's fans. There is some support for the Rams. There's not much. This idea that you can just replace a long-standing brand is just farcical. And I would point to this idea that New York can support an NFC and an AFC team. Those teams have been in existence for, like, 70 years. And to get people to ditch a brand like that of the Dallas Cowboys, which is synonymous with that city, to the same degree that the Lakers are synonymous with Los Angeles, to be like essentially, hey, I'm going to move to this city to become the Clippers. Why would you do that?
Right.
Why would you do that? Now, I was surprised by some things. Now, Houston's a bigger city than Dallas, but the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, which is, I think, like 7.1 million, is bigger than the Houston Metroplex, which I think is like $6.8 million. Like, that was surprising to me, but that doesn't mean that it would be able to sustain two NFL teams. You know, you have to really think about this idea that you would move a team to a city that already has like a brand with the kind of prestige that the Cowboys have. This is dumb. And also, if you're the mayor of Dallas, why would you float this out? Like, you are going to be replaced by some sort of Jerry Jones puppet, like lock of the century.
Election season. That's all I have to say. You don't tweet things like this unless you are wanting to start controversy, get some people on your side, maybe even Jerry Jones on your side. Do you think Jerry Jones would want another team in Dallas?
He's been blocking teams in San Antonio.
Yeah, I mean, he probably would I mean, make this go away in a heartbeat if it were ever even put on a table.
There's never going to be, as long as Jerry Jones is alive, another football team in Texas. There just won't. And I would imagine that Cal McNair and the McNairs would fight too, because the small imprint that they have on the state as far as being a football team, like, they don't want to lose any of it to another team. Like, that would also probably you know what's funny is teams in the Houston Texans might have the most to lose from another team in Dallas, because it would be an alternative. It would be, well, it's not the Cowboys, you know, it's an alternative.
You know what? And they would do, if they were smart, is they would actually create a team that has fun colors, a fun mascot, a great brand. They'd make it newer, fresher, because look, I mean, objectively speaking, the Texans went the really kind of boring route. They named it the Texans, and they did red, white, and blue, and it's not a strong brand.
You know what? If they win, it is. And I think there are some people here that do think that the nickname Texans is cool. I think that they should have worked on the mascot. They should have workshopped the mascot. Like, it's a bull. Like, bulls get stabbed to death by Spaniards.
Oh.
You know? Or well, what? I mean, that's where
that's
bull...
That's true. No,
where a bull is allowed to fight is in, essentially, the... what are those called? Like, against a matador in those bullfighting competitions. But they get killed every single time. So it's just, basically, it's just a born loser animal. Either you're steak or you're that. So I feel like they should change the logo. You know, I think it should be like, hey, the Cowboys have a star for a logo. Well, how about we get an actual dude with, like, two pistols or something like that shooting Colt 45s? Because, all right, they're going to go with the star. We'll get some, like, cool-looking cowboy, like the guy that you got at Oklahoma State. That logo is pretty sick.
Insensitive to gun violence.
Yeah, whatever.
That yeah, actually fair is. Point.
That, should have had that idea in 2002.
That actually is the argument.
You're right.
That would,
damn it.
But you know what?
We'll look cool, though.
If there was an expansion NFL team, what city do you think would deserve it the most? Let us know. 713-780-ESPN. Of course, you can call us as well, as we do take calls. But I don't think it ever happens, not only because of what you said, but do you think the NFL will ever expand again? Or do you think a team
it's
is
Toronto
going to move?
It's Toronto or Mexico City.
Right,
those are the two places where they would look at it and say, this makes the most sense to us. Toronto honestly makes the most sense because you open Canada up, and you know Canada has a lot of people that care about the CFL. The problem is, I think that there might be someone in Buffalo, especially after the new stadium that they built, that would whine about, oh, this is encroachment. This is our territory. But it's like, well, Buffalo's not a real city. You know, Toronto actually is. Mexico City also would make a ton of sense. They would draw a huge amount of interest from Mexico, I think, if they were to get a team there. They just, again, have to build the new stadium, which I'm surprised, again, that no one has. You would think that this would be an easy thing to do there. Alas.
Moving to the NBA, we are in the midst of NBA finals. Steve Kerr actually tested positive for COVID. I didn't know they were still testing for COVID.
Yeah, and I think it's pretty funny that, look, I'm not trying to make this political. I remember watching, I think it was the game, game three between Golden State and Memphis, and just seeing who was wearing masks, who wasn't wearing masks. Like, it was all over the place there. And Kerr was wearing a mask on the sideline, and okay, well, he ends up getting it. So that means Mike Brown, who has been announced as the head coach of the Sacramento Kings, had to coach in last night's game. And Memphis, you know, they played well, at least compared to the no-show in game three. But they have now lost two games since Ja Morant, at the end of the game, where he scored 40-something points against the Warriors, basically went up to Steph and said, like, now we got ourselves a series. And it's just a further reminder. If you are some young yuppie, do not talk trash to the old guard. Just don't. Like, what do you think is going to happen?
Lance Zierlein said he thinks Ja Morant could be the next Michael Jordan.
Well, he could be, but this is not a good look where you're talking trash, and then all of a sudden you lose the next game. You don't even play in game four. You get hurt in game three, and you start whining about, like, the code when, you know, one of your teammates is essentially trying to murder Gary Payton Jr. out there. I don't know. I like Ja Morant a lot. I really do. But that was stupid by him. Like, what are you? Do not step on the toes of a basketball nuclear weapon
future
like Steph
Hall of
Curry.
Famer, right.
Like, Steph Curry can in a span of 2 minutes, Steph Curry can end a game for you. Like, with it, all it takes is three threes for him. Boom. Game is over. why would you step on his toes? That was just dumb.
It was dumb, and it goes to show you how that young cockiness can be fun to watch, and it can be exciting. And when you have a player as electric as Ja Morant who can make a huge difference in games, it can be cool to watch. But you got to humble yourself every now and then.
If he backed it up, it would have been incredible. Right. But the odds were always against him backing something like that up.
Speaking of NBA playoffs, who says 33 is old?
Dude, 35 years old.
You're 33, right?
I'm 33.
You are not old.
No.
You are not aging. Well, and Al Horford, let me tell you, at 35 years old, still got it.
Okay, so I thought what we saw from him in Game 3 was peak. He has been so awesome in these playoffs for the Boston Celtics, who now tied things up last night after beating Milwaukee. He was so good. And I was like, wait a second. This is the same Al Horford who was playing with the Atlanta Hawks? Like, wasn't he on those teams that were playing against the Boston Celtics in 2008?
Al Horford, drop the skincare routine, drop the workout yoga routine, drop all of your routines, because this man, when you're 35 years old, and Chris Long, a former, obviously, NFL great and son of Howie Long, was talking about how once you get past really any age of like 33, 34 in professional sports, to be playing at that high of a level is crazy.
He's been incredible on defense, but he shot 80% from the field yesterday.
Yeah, it was a good game.
That is just insane. 71% from outside. He was hitting every shot that he took.
He was college teammates with Joakim Noah.
That's nuts.
Oh, my gosh.
That is nuts. And he's a big guy, too. And this series, like, the Celtics front line is completely overshadowed, literally, by the big guys on Milwaukee. This reminds me of playing NBA 2K, where one time I was playing one of my friends in NBA 2K, and I just had an unbelievable game with Al Horford. That happens in a video game where some random player takes over, where you figure out like how to use their shot on the shot stick. This happened in a real game, and back-to-back games, too. He's been the best player for Boston in this series, and he's 35 years old, and he's not even supposed to be one of their top three players.
Al Horford still
crazy.
Got it. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we're going to talk about Lovie Smith. Talked yesterday about the Texans addressing some needs, plus a little bit of Deshaun Watson news. But first, let me tell you about home insurance. Listen to me if you own your home. Grab your phone. Our friends at TGS Insurancy are going to deliver big savings, and you don't even have to talk to an agent. I know you probably pay too much for your home insurance, but you don't shop for better rates because it's a huge hassle, but it doesn't have to be thanks to TGS. They have this new system. It instantly shops over 36 carriers, and you get that full quote in just 15 seconds. So it's super quick, and it's a single text. You're probably going to save a bunch of cash. So, again, take your phone, text the word money, that's M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. Their system will ask for your address, send that back, and you'll get your full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. This company's real. The savings are legit. Their online rating is nearly perfect, and their average customer from last year saved over $870. So, again, I know it's a hassle. I know it's usually a lot to shop for home insurance, but this is the easiest it's ever been. Get out your phone, text money to 232323, get your home insurance quote, and save big today.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.